This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday where it's given me such intense joy to watch Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey suffer the way they have suffered today. You see, me for the Super Bowl. Yeah, I went over to the neighbor's house. I had some smoked queso. Wasn't mine. My buddy did it. Excellent, by the way. I had some smoked chicken wings. Gosh, I love a good smoked chicken wing. Someone brought a pizza dip that was really, really good. Someone else made some jalapeno cheddar sausages. That hit just right. But I had an ice water with all that. Jewish producer Chris, producer Corey, they did not have ice water during the Super Bowl. I walked in today, fired up, ready to do the show, in a good mood. Man, it was awfully somber around here. It was like I walked into a storm cloud. Neither of you even look very good. What is it, Chris? What? No, I'm not mad I wasn't invited. Maybe a little mad. Maybe, no, I wouldn't have come because I don't want to hang out with you degenerates. I don't want to be part of whatever it is you're taking part in, mainly because there was no smoked queso there that I'm aware of at all. Bet you guys are dying to go home tonight, huh? That's a shame. Remember what my old first sergeant used to say? I believe he's probably listening right now. He used to gather us up every Friday night, and he would tell us, remember, if you're going to hoot with the owls at night, you better be ready to soar with the eagles in the morning. Chris, Corey, you don't look like you're ready to soar with me today. Are you not ready to soar, Chris? Is that a Red Bull you're drinking over there? Huh, it's weird. All right, quit. Focus. That's bad in Minnesota.
The performance audit shows the Behavioral Health Administration sent millions of dollars out the door in grants without making proper checks into who was receiving them. And that is not even the most jaw-dropping finding. Lou Ragusa has tonight's top story. Lou?
Julie, according to the nonpartisan legislative auditor, this is another case of mismanagement of taxpayer money. But perhaps the most explosive revelation is that managers within DHS, the Department of Human Services, tried to cover their tracks by backdating and creating new documents.
The Democrat Party goes away without fraud, foreigners, and election cheating. The entire party is dedicated to simply looting the Treasury everywhere they have taken power, and they have looted the Treasury to such a degree, it's staggering. All that, and by the way, I mentioned the cheating. Let's not forget the cheating portion of it. Let's remember what they did with the census. This is Brad Todd.
One of the big things is it helps decide congressional maps. Right. Does this have everything to do with redistricting?
Well, it does. In fact, we know the 2020 census, the errors were almost always to the detriment of red states. Blue states like Rhode Island.
Do we know that?
We do know that. The Census Bureau's own audit of its work has proven that. Blue states like Rhode Island were overcounted. Rhode Island then didn't lose a seat. Red states like Alabama were undercounted. Listen, this is just a fact. It wasn't all red-blue, but it was disproportionately red.
They even lie about the census. That's all they do. Lie, cheat, steal. Hey, Jesse, it's that American Indian professor again. Half Chilean, he says, by the way. How about that? Chile is how you say it, Chris. Sorry you don't habla. I love the Little Red Book. Oh, pause. Remember, jessekelly.com. There you put in your email address. I am happy to admit two things. One, you are not emailing Chris anymore asking for the book. Right, Chris? Not many? That as much. Okay, as much. Two things. You're not emailing Chris as much about the book. That's good. Stop emailing Chris. Just go to jessekelly.com. Put in your email address. They'll send it to you. Two, you love it. I can't believe you actually like it. What's wrong with you? Jesse, I'm in a debate with my dad over Trump's recent Second Amendment comments. We both agreed Trump was dumb to say them out loud, but my dad thinks Second Amendment advocates should boycott the midterms if they feel betrayed. I disagree, pointing out that we all knew what we were buying when we voted for Don and not Dome. If we do stay home in November, the communists will win for sure. Who's right, who's wrong, and why? I don't think either of you are right, and I think Donald Trump is wrong. Let me explain. There are a couple different ways of thinking when it comes to our elected representatives. Your father's way of thinking of, well, if you're unhappy with them, withhold your vote. Well, I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but it is important that politicians are afraid of us. So I'm not saying he's right, but I'm not saying he's wrong. You say, well, one of two political parties is going to win. We understand the GOP sucks on a lot of things. We also understand the communists are subhuman, demonic savages who are probably going to kill us all if they get the chance. So we can't let them have power. So I have to vote for the lesser of two evils. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. Donald Trump is not a gun guy, as we've discussed. This is not the first bad thing he's done with the Second Amendment. It's not. Remember when he came out and said, well, red flag laws. Chris, grab that comment of Trump's about red flag laws. I think we go grab the guns first. Why would he say that? Chris will get it. It'll take him a second, but Chris will get it. Why would Donald Trump come out and say that? Surely that's something he would know would make Second Amendment people lose their ever-loving minds. Here he was.
We've been rewriting it, and we are going to bring in something called the Gun Violence Restraining Order. So if someone is civilly committed, typically you can hold them for up to 72 hours, but people are getting out within 24 hours, the majority of them. So what we want to do is let law enforcement come in and take the guns.
Good.
They're a danger to themselves
or others. Which you can't do right now.
Well, they're, because without being adjudicated.
Let's stop. You hear Pam Bondi, you hear Trump. Trump said it himself. Second Amendment people, when they hear that, myself included, go, excuse me, what? Why would he say it? Donald Trump has something that helps him a lot, and it hurts him sometimes. He's not a traditional political person. He's not a traditional conservative. He approaches virtually everything from a businessman perspective. So he's going to try to control too many things. He's going to look at something, quote, practically instead of understanding all the implications of it. And because he's not a gun guy, Donald Trump will say things like, well, just go grab the guns. I believe in getting the guns first. We'll grab the guns first. People who love the Second Amendment like I do say, what did you just say? I understand why he says those things. But it's also important for all politicians, not just Donald Trump. It's important for all of them to understand this. You can dishearten your base to the point they don't show up for you as much. I know you were still going to vote in the midterms, and I'm still going to vote in the midterms. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to be out there voting for Republicans, pushing for Republicans, trying to make sure the communists do not take power in the House. That's my intention. I'm open and honest with you about it right now because I believe we have to keep the communists out of power at any cost. I am an anti-communist first. Before I'm a Republican, before I'm a conservative, before I'm anything, I am an anti-communist because I know communism is of the devil. When you say stuff like that, what you do is, by just saying stuff, you can take a guy like this guy's dad and you can cost yourself his vote. Now, how many guys are like that? Hardcore Second Amendment guys who off of one statement cost themselves a vote or support. So beyond politics, this is actually a wonderful lesson in life because Lord knows I've made this mistake enough in my life. There are people. Have you ever known someone like this? Maybe you are one of these people. And they'll say something to this effect. I say whatever I want, whenever I want. Any social setting, no one's going to hold me back. I'm just going to say whatever. If I'm in a business meeting, I'm not holding back. I'm going to say whatever. If it's a family reunion, I ain't holding back. I'll say whatever. And it's always presented as a brag, right? And on some level, it's kind of cool. You don't let other people control what you say. But you got to be careful piling up enemies in life where you don't have to. You got to be careful. There is a cost. You know, we talked in the opening about how there's a cost to communists lying all the time. There's a cost for them. They pay a price for that. There's a cost to people like you or me or Donald Trump for just saying whatever's on your mind at any given moment. There's a cost. You want someone to be open and honest. You also want someone to know when to tap the brakes. So when you're out at the Christmas party with your boss and your wife is there and she's had an extra glass of vino, it's really important that she doesn't tell him, you know, I've always thought you're a crappy boss and you treat my husband like crap. Oh, I say whatever I want. Yeah, you just cost us a promotion, honey. Congratulations on that. There's a cost. All right. We'll talk about communists making everybody miserable, understanding leverage. Even someone asked about Rosa Parks. Before we talk about that, let me talk to you about this. Saving a baby. That's a cost we don't think about because you don't know what you never had. How much different of a country are we today with 60 million more lives? 60 million babies born, raised, educated right here in America. How much did we miss out on? How many truly wonderful people were in there eliminated before they ever had a chance to be born? And abortion has not gone down. You know that? It's maintained in some levels. It's gone up because of the abortion pill. Preborn is our fight. Preborn is the one. That's the one we can use to fight against it and actually win because they give free ultrasounds to these women. Go. Dial #250 and say baby. #250 baby. $28 saves a life. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. Do not forget, as we talk about often, the devil knows scripture too. He can quote the whole thing. Here's Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. You know why they do this, right?
Most of the decisions I make are based on that golden rule that says we love our neighbor as ourselves. Yeah. And that parable of the Good Samaritan that says everyone is our neighbor. Yeah. And so when I've taken actions like vetoing the nastiest piece of anti-LGBTQ legislation that ever came through my state, I described it in those terms. I said my faith teaches me that all children are children of God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want people picking on those kids.
Child tranny bill? He stopped it. What did he use to justify such an evil thing, such a demonic act? Did he quote the book of Satan? No, of course not. Talked about Jesus, the Bible. That's how they get you. And that's, of course, remember, that's why they do it. What's he doing there? What's he actually doing there? I'll play it again, and I want you to listen to it through this lens. Let's say you're in Kentucky. Let's say your dad, mom, they were Democrats. Their dad, mom, Democrats. You come from a lifelong Democrat family. Maybe your family history is more blue-collar Democrat types, union workers, things like that. And maybe you don't feel great about some of the modern-day Democrat stuff, wide-open borders, things like that. Maybe you're kind of out on all the endless LGBTQ activism from the Democrat Party today. You go to church every Sunday. You're not sure about that. It would be really hard to vote for a Republican Are Democrats the spawn of Satan? I mean, we just had a sermon on Sunday, and there was a lot of Old Testament stuff in there. Am I a bad person for voting Democrat? Hey, Governor Beshear, what do you have to say about that?
Most of the decisions I make are based on that golden rule that says we love our neighbor as ourself.
Yeah.
And that parable of the Good Samaritan that says everyone is our neighbor.
Yeah.
And so when I've taken actions like vetoing the nastiest piece of anti-LGBTQ legislation that ever came through my state, I described it in those terms. I said my faith teaches me that all children are children of God.
Yeah.
And I didn't want people picking on those kids.
He's giving that Democrat sitting in a church pew on Sunday in Kentucky, he's giving their conscience permission to keep voting Democrat. That's what he's doing. That 65-year-old Democrat from a Democrat family doesn't like the illegals, doesn't like the tranny stuff, thinks it's weird, thinks it's gross. Pretty sure her Bible's real clear about all that, but... didn't you hear what Andy Beshear said? He talked about Jesus and the children. It's really sick. It's really evil. These people will pay a terrible, terrible price for these lies one day, but that's why they do it. Using your values against you at all times. Jesse, you mentioned earlier this week that Rosa Parks was a commie activist. I never heard that side of the story. And doing online research is a crapshoot. What's the true scoop? Yeah, you've been lied about virtually every hero they taught you about in school, including Rosa Parks. She was a filthy communist. You can go look her up. She was part of virtually every communist group you could become a part of. An open activist. Did you know that Rosa Parks rode multiple buses that day? She wasn't a tired old saintly black lady on the way home from work. She rode multiple buses that day trying to get herself in a situation where she would be arrested for all this stuff. It's all a big fat freaking lie. And we all have to sit and pretend that Rosa Parks was this beautiful saint, and it's not true at all. And by the way, if any of this offends you, I don't give a rat crap. Go learn real history. They lie to you about everything. In your public school, your idiot teachers taught you that Rosa Parks was the second coming of Jesus and that Andrew Jackson was the devil himself. Well, I've got news for you. It's quite the opposite. Virtually every hero they taught you about in school was a piece of crap. And by the way, the people they demonize weren't all wonderful either. All human beings are flawed. They do wonderful things. They do terrible things. So just be very, very careful when they tell you about anybody for any reason and hold them up as this wonderful saint. Oh my goodness, this human was perfect. Even Medal of Honor Monday. We just did Medal of Honor Monday, didn't we? You know how many Medal of Honor winners? How many of those guys were disasters in other parts of their lives? More than you can possibly count. Before, after, they had a moment or moments where they were absurdly brave, moments where they were absurdly selfless, willing to give up their own lives on behalf of others. And by the way, some of them, of course, were wonderful human beings. I'm not saying they were all crap, but you know how many of these heroes we admire? They're kind of crappy. That's life. That's how it works. Be very careful when somebody tells you that someone's just a saint of everything. And Saint Rosa Parks was a commie activist who bent over backwards to get herself in that situation that day. And since then, because our public education system's run by a bunch of dirty commies too, everyone's lied about it. Anyway, more emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that. Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count.
And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I got a good chuckle out of this one. Apps to boycott U.S. goods gained traction in crisis over Greenland. Guys, I was sitting with a friend yesterday. This is a guy who does, I don't want to make him sound more important than he actually is, but he has to deal with international businesses all the time. He gets shipments in, he has to ship things out. So it's not as fancy as it sounds, he always has to go overseas. He's always dealing with like Europe and places like that, always, always, always. And so he has a bunch of friends over there, just guys he's had so many dealings with for years. We were sitting out back when the game was on last night, and he said one of his friends was lamenting to him as they were discussing their respective countries. I think this guy was in Spain. He was Spanish. It's just like Mexico, Chris. The guy was in Spain, and the guy was lamenting to him that in America, you guys make everything global things. You guys make rockets and send them to the moon. The railroads, mass agriculture, just we make everything and have the ability to make everything here. And he said, and again, I'm pretty sure it was Spain, if I remember right. He said, in Spain, we make wine. In Europe, you can get a leather handbag here. That's what you can get. And don't get me wrong, I'm not dogging on your leather handbag from Europe. I'm sure the wine is lovely. I'm not a wine man myself. I'm sure it's a good vintage. I think that's what they say, Chris. And they swirl it around and they sniff it. Anyway, I'm sure it's lovely. But can you not threaten us with your buying power, Europe? Please. Let's be honest about who we are here. Hey, we're going to stop buying your stuff. Okay, Europoor. Nobody's concerned that you're going to boycott American stuff. And by the way, you don't ever want that to go the other way either. Half those leather handbags are sold to American women. Jesse, do you see the U.S. becoming balkanized? Of course. That's a terrible state of affairs. I played this earlier. Balkanization, it's inevitable if you cannot purge the communist menace from institutions, because he will force you to balkanize. I'll play it again. This is Gene Wu, this dork who should be denaturalized and deported back to China. Born in China, he now, of course, is an elected representative in America. Listen to this. You can hate this, and I hate this, but listen.
I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning, because we are the majority.
What did you just say? First of all, you lumped everyone in by race. I wish these stupid Latinos and the black people and everyone else would wake up, and I wish they'd realize it's whitey over there. Whitey's the problem. You just lumped all kinds of individuals in by race. And then you divided them up by race. Now, I don't think that's ever going to be widespread, as in every white person thinks like that, or every Latino thinks like that, or every black person thinks like that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'll say it this way. Let's say we go off to camp. We're at camp. You want to go to camp with me? We're going off to camp. And in this camp, there are 50 Asians. There are 50 Latinos. 50 white people, 50 black people, right? Now, let's think about it this way. We're going to be at camp for a month. It's a long camp. Hopefully the beds are comfortable. We're going to be at camp for a month. There are 50 of everybody. How many in each group have to start thinking, talking, and acting tribally like this for it to become a problem for everyone? How many? Well, the answer is probably a number greater than one. It's going to take more than one white guy or more than one black guy or more than one Latino or more than one Asian to start speaking tribally like that. It's us against them. They're oppressors. It's our race against. It's going to take more than one. But I think you would also agree that number is less than 50. It doesn't take all of them. How many until we have a problem on our hands? How many people in American society, in public life, elected officials, entertainers, how many now feel comfortable all the time talking like this?
I always tell people the day the Latino, African-American, Asian, and other communities realize that they share the same oppressor is the day we start winning. Because we are the majority in this country now. We have the ability to take over this country and to do what is needed for everyone.
We are the majority now. We can take over the country. Well, I'm not saying you're Gene Wu, but how many Gene Wus do there have to be before we got a little bit of a problem? The problem, right? You already see it in the judicial system all over the place. And again, more than race. That's just one of the most common ones. That's the easiest one to sell. Bakari Sellers.
Well, I think what that episode in our country's history showed us is that we really need some fumigation, right? We need a exorcism, for lack of a better term. We need a more aggressive approach to go in and surgically remove the cancer that is the Donald Trump and MAGA movement.
Surgically remove the cancer. For those of us who voted for Donald Trump. Now, I will tell you, I have lived and worked around Democrats in recent years. They have become so detestable, so aggressive. I don't want to live around them anymore. I told you a long time ago that in my neighborhood is, they had one of those maps up. My neighborhood is 92% Republican, right? So it's red, red, red. But there were, right in our group, there were a couple Democrats. One Democrat couple, especially when we first moved there, came to everything. Surprise, surprise, could not control themselves, couldn't just go to a Super Bowl party, couldn't just have a block party, couldn't just have a crawfish boil. Everything had to be loud and angry and political and this and that. And slowly but surely, they stopped getting invited to anything. I haven't laid eyes on them in 5 years. They still live in the neighborhood. 5 years. I won't come. I'll check as soon as there's an invite list. If I see they've been invited, I know who else isn't coming, and I'm not alone. That started to get spread around. Now they just don't get invited to anything. You have to cut these people out of your freaking life now. Of course we're balkanizing. As Democrats have become more and more rabid, more and more aggressive, more and more insane, they become something you shouldn't be around. And they're not backing off of the radicalization. Did you see this? A Democrat PAC paid for this. It's a television commercial, but listen to this.
I had a really good time today.
Yeah.
It's a young man and a young Hispanic-looking woman.
I had a really good time today.
Yeah, me too. I really
I said Hispanic. That might have been out of line. She could have been Indian. I don't know. What are you shaking your head for, Chris? I don't know where she was from. She might have just been hitting the tanning bed. I have no idea. She doesn't look like she's from Nebraska. What? I didn't say anything wrong. Anyway, here it is.
I had a really good time today.
Yeah, me too. I really like.
What are you doing?
Bunch of agents came up, masked agents, and grabbed her from behind.
She's coming with us.
What are you talking about? Who are you?
I'm your Republican congressman. Now that we're in charge, we're rounding up illegals.
She was born here. She's a citizen.
I don't care. She looks like one of them. But don't worry, when she's in prison in El Salvador, she'll have lots of company.
That's making them crazy. Anyway, one more segment next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we shall return tomorrow on a Tuesday, and you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Supreme Leader, since the Dobbs decision was leaked and no one was ever held accountable, can we surmise from that incident that the Supreme Court decision about the 14th Amendment will also be leaked? Well, this is the problem with how John Roberts handled the leaking of the Dobbs decision. All the traditions of the court were violated. We can only assume it was some filthy communist who did the violating, because that's what they do. A communist leaked the overturning of Roe versus Wade. As a result, Brett Kavanaugh was almost assassinated on his front porch. John Roberts is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. I assume, and I'm making an assumption here, I assume John Roberts did what he did to kind of try to protect the integrity of the court. What he did was he kept the FBI out of the investigation. He let the marshals of the Supreme Court handle the investigation, and they never found who did the leaking. Institutions, since we opened up the show talking about them, we might as well talk about them again. This is another thing institutions do that ruin the institution. It costs the institutions the trust of the people. Institutions protect themselves. Instead of holding themselves to account, institutions, just by their very nature, protect themselves. Let's keep things in-house. We don't want to talk to people about it. But when it's a government institution of any kind, certainly the Supreme Court, when it's a government institution, you have to be open. You can't, well, we'll handle it in-house. We'll do an internal investigation. Otherwise, the trust, it evaporates. Remember, Chris grabbed this. Remember when John Kirby, we played it for you many times before, after Afghanistan, after Abbey Gate, when we did a drone strike on 10 innocent people in Afghanistan. Remember, the United States of America, our government, the Biden administration, the military under Mark Milley, we executed 10 totally innocent people in Afghanistan with a Reaper drone. We executed those people. No different than a soldier lining them up on the side of the road and firing a bullet in the back of their head, and six of them were children. If we watched anyone else do that, we would demand trials, war crimes, pull their fingernails out. The Biden administration didn't want to look bad. The military didn't want to look bad. And so here's how it went.
How does it strike you that no one is held accountable? Because I know how it strikes a lot of people around the world that you can get away with murder and nobody's punished for it.
I do understand that. We appreciate that not everybody's going to support this decision. What I can tell you is we looked at this thing very, very comprehensively. And again, we acknowledge that there were procedural breakdowns. Processes were not executed the way they should have been. But it doesn't necessarily indicate that that an individual or individuals have to be held to account for that. But look,
discipline inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
What we are going to do, there's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie. But what we are going to do is learn from this, and we're going to enact and improve our procedures and our processes to try to make sure this doesn't happen again.
You did that to try to protect the institution, but in so doing, you hurt the institution immensely. Because the American people hear that stuff, and they stop trusting anything you say. That's a fact. You can trust me about chalk, I'll tell you that. 4 years I've been taking it. I am aware of why there is a low T clinic on every single street corner. I'm aware. Because the men started to feel it. We started to feel it first in this country. Low energy, bad mood. We started to feel it. But then it got worse. Then we started to lose focus. Our brains got foggy. Then we started to test it. We're finding out from the doctor that, wait a minute, my T levels are low? Well, we're drinking estrogen. You have to combat that. You have to be proactive about combating that. That's what natural herbal supplements from Chalk, that's what a male vitality stack from Chalk is all about. That's why I've taken one for 4 years. And look, maybe you need a good pre-workout. Natural, of course. They have it. Maybe you just want to start your day with vitamins and minerals. They have it. It's called chocolate powder. Whatever you're looking for, Chalk has it. Go get a subscription. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. Quite a reveal from Catherine Herridge.
When we did the story, we did it after the midterms. I argued against that because it was ready before the midterms. And my training is that you should always do the story when it's ready to go. You should not be dictated by the political cycle. I spent a lot of my time at CBS following the Hunter Biden story. And one of the things that really struck me is this kind of disconnect. I didn't understand how a senior executive like George Chiefs could tell me that this was a high priority for the network and for his boss. And yet the executives at CBS News, show producers, anchors could refuse that. I came to the conclusion that they must have felt that they were more powerful than George Chiefs, which was astonishing to me. I'd never worked at a place where a directive from the top would be so defied.
They just lie about everything. Super Bowl players lose thousands to California's jock tax on athlete income. They just make everything and everyone miserable. They can't help it. Just a bunch of filthy thieves. They make everyone and everything miserable. And it sucks that they did it in California, that they did it to California. They even made the Olympics miserable.
It's been a hard time for the community overall under this administration. It isn't the first time that we've had to come together as a community and try and fight for our human rights. And now, especially, it's not just affecting the queer community, but many other communities. And I think that I hope I can use my platform and my voice throughout these games to try and encourage people to stay strong.
Yes, stay strong. Stay strong out there. Also, they release criminals out on the street on purpose.
For example, one of the things we've asked Governor Walz for and Mayor Fry is to give us just the criminals you have in jail. They've released 490 murderers and rapists and drug traffickers onto their streets rather than just give them to us.
Democrats are so evil, they'll put rapists in your daughter's community to avoid having them be deported. That's a level of evil that is hard for normal people to understand and accept.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Iran steps up arrests while remaining positive on U.S. talks. Yes, that's amazing how much more popular your administration gets when you just start arresting everyone who opposes you. AI chatbots give bad health advice. Research finds. I don't care. I'm still going to trust everything they say, no matter what. Olympic athletes' medals break during celebrations. I just learned that these things aren't actually bronze. You know, they're not actually... It's a big mix on things. My entire life's a lie. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow to do it again. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.